Hey, it's Miles here, Miles McKee, with Gospel Truth Sunday Message. And I want to speak today on Well Done, Jesus. Well done. Well done, Jesus. Well done. That's what these folks said to him in Mark. Well, basically, they said to him in Mark chapter 7. I hope you've got your Bible or your phone. Mark 7. Verse 31 to 37, and if you keep it open, if you keep your phone open or your Bible open, we'll be referring to a number of these verses. But again, it says, verse 31, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. Now, Decapolis, by the way, there were 10 cities in Decapolis, and they weren't Hebrew cities. They were Greek cities. They followed the Greek culture. They were pagans, and they had an area, the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So that's where Jesus goes. He goes through Decapolis, and they bring him unto him, one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him, that's beseech Jesus, to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And they charged, and he charged them that they should tell no one, tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So that's the end of our reading. But what we can say after that is, well done, Jesus. Well done. That was well done. He has done all things well. Is that not a great statement about the Lord Jesus? He has done all things well. My goodness, we're going to look today at one of Christ's miracles. And now, the interesting thing about this miracle, you see the miracle we've just read about healing the dumb and the deaf man? This is the only record of that in the New Testament. John doesn't touch it. Luke doesn't touch it. Matthew doesn't touch it. I have no reason why that is given to us, but of course, you know, if all the things that Jesus did were recorded, there wouldn't be room for many other books. He just did amazing things. And this is just one of the things. It's a simple story of a simple healing. Oh, it's simple, but it's powerful. Powerful. But what I mean is that there are other more dramatic healings and demonstrations of his power than this. I'll take, for example, the healing of the nobleman's son. There was this poor nobleman. His son was many miles away, and the man wanted Jesus to come and pray for the boy. So Jesus just prayed for him right there. He healed the boy at a distance. The boy got well, healed him at a distance. Wonderful, wonderful story. There was the raising of Lazarus. That's much more powerful than this healing. Well, why do you say that? Well, Lazarus has been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Yeah, 4 days. But this miracle in front of us, the miracle we've just read about today, it sets the stage for a fuller revelation of the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus is more than the miracle worker? He is the Lord God. I'm going to say that to you again. I want you to catch this. Jesus is more than the miracle worker. He is the Lord God. And I pray that he will reveal himself to you today through the ministry of the word. Oh, Lord, please show up with your power and invade hearts and turn hearts towards you today in Jesus' lovely name. Well, in verse 31, again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through Decapolis. Now, Decapolis was a confederation, as we've said, of 10 cities. Greek pagan culture reigned supreme. And there's something, unless you get a map and check it out, or check it out in some kind of a Bible dictionary, you'll miss the significance of that verse, verse 31. Because that journey from Tyre to Sidon lasted several months on foot. They weren't driving ATVs or motorbikes or anything. They were just walking, and it was terrible terrain, horrible terrain. And did he do any miracles during that couple of months, 6 weeks, couple of months? We don't know. But I know what he did do. He would have taught the disciples. What a Bible study. Month long. Talk about a seminar. Yeah, he would have taught the disciples. Wouldn't you just, dear believer, wouldn't you just have loved to have sat in on that? And then verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. People came out. They asked for help when Jesus showed up. But sit there and think for a moment. How did they know about him? He's not from that part of the world. How did they know about him? He was known among the Jews, but how did these folks were Gentiles. They were Greeks. Well, I'll tell you how they heard. Do you remember, turn back your memory of the scriptures here, back to Mark chapter 5. Do you remember the poor wretch who lived in the graveyard, the madman, demon-possessed man? And Jesus came, got off the boat, and healed the man. Now, this man ran around the graveyards, lived in the graveyards, probably in some kind of a cave in the graveyard. And he ran around buck naked. He was naked as the day he was born. And he would terrorize people, and he would attack people. Several times the community got together, and they chained him. They caught him, and they chained him. And do you know what it did? He just snapped the chains as though they were toy handcuffs. And he would wound himself, and he was, oh, what a awful character, a helpless, a hopeless case. That's in Mark 5, verses 19 to 20. Well, it's actually more verses than that. But Jesus healed him. Do you remember that? The demon-possessed man, the hopeless case, and Jesus healed him. And now he would have liked to have gone with Jesus, but Jesus told him to stay there and preach the gospel, tell about him. Where was this? This was in Decapolis. And this man had told about Jesus. And that's why they came up to Jesus and said, would you heal this fellow? They knew about Jesus because people were talking. That man had taken Christ's word literally, and he had gone evangelizing. He told the people about Jesus. Maybe he said, hey, you got a moment? Here, listen. Let me tell you, I want to tell you about Jesus. He saved my life. I used to roam around the hills naked. I lived in a graveyard, and I terrorized everyone. Oh, yeah, we heard about you. Surely you're not that man. Oh, yeah, they even tried to chain me, and I just snapped the chains. Oh, he said, wow, yeah, I heard all about you. Well, what happened? How did you get better? I met Jesus. where Jesus met me. And he came to me, Jesus of Nazareth came to me, and he cast the demons out of me. He delivered me. Wow. That's why these people came out and to see whether Jesus could help. Because this man had been told to go evangelize, go and make Jesus famous, and he did it. Wow. So they brought, he made Jesus famous, and they brought him a deaf mute. Well, perhaps not a mute, but he was tongue-tied, but he couldn't speak whatever the actual malady was. The man was in a hopeless case. And you know, if you're not saved, you're in a hopeless situation. Not hopeless situation, but it's bad. Here's how bad it is. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded your eyes that you do not see the glory of Christ. Blinded your eyes. And then in Jeremiah 6:10, their ears are closed. Their ears are closed. That's the state before you're saved, before the Lord enters and invades your understanding and causes you to call out for Jesus. Do you not want Jesus? You want nothing to do with him? Then the Holy Spirit hasn't invaded you yet. Maybe he will today. Well, you can call out and ask the Lord to save you. So we are all blind to the gospel. We all have an inability to confess Jesus as Lord. We're tongue-tied when it comes to that. And it's only the gospel that can remove our spiritual blindness and our spiritual deafness. So here's a man, God bless him, he's standing before Jesus, a deaf mute. Now let me tell you a wee thing about deaf mutes. Deaf mutes had no rights back in those days. Even in Israel, they had no rights. And in Israel, the rabbis classed them amongst the insane. They were treated as though they were under the curse of God. And the heathens treated them even worse. Some cultures even executed these folks. Whoa. The only thing that this man had going for him was that he had good friends. And they brought him to Jesus. Verse 32. They brought him to Jesus. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. A good friend will bring you to Jesus. An enemy will take you away from Jesus. Yeah? You want to judge who's your good friend? Is hanging around with them, taking you closer to Jesus or farther away from Jesus? Do your friends bring you closer to Jesus? Well, these friends brought him closer to Jesus, and they believed that Jesus could help, and they pleaded for him. I thought the poor soul couldn't plead for himself. How could he ask for mercy? He couldn't. He was mute. And this surely points us to the necessity of praying for our friends. I'm bringing them to Jesus. You could have friends listening on the other side of the world, but you can pray for them. Bring them to Jesus in prayer. Oh, I'm persuaded that we don't pray enough. We've got a God who's all-powerful, omnipotent. He knows all things. Nothing can stop him. And we don't ask him for anything. What are you asking God for? Do we ask that his kingdom would come? Do we ask, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name? Do we pray that the Lord's name would be hallowed in our friends? Oh Lord, may grant that all our friends become believers and hallow your name. Oh, we don't pray half enough. And so these folks, they didn't even ask for healing. Did you notice that? Verse 32. They didn't ask for healing. They bring him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. That's all. Well, put your hand upon him, Lord. But Jesus, much more than put his hand upon him, he healed him. They didn't ask for healing. They just asked that Jesus would touch him, lay his hand upon him. perhaps give them a blessing. Who knows? But Jesus healed them. And this is an illustration of Ephesians 3:20, which says he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. So when Jesus healed this man, it was a declaration that he, Jesus, was the Messiah. Oh, why'd you say that, Brother Miles? Well, in Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6, talking about the messianic ministry, the Messiah's ministry, it says that the deaf and the dumb will be healed. And in verse 33, what does Jesus do? He took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue. This is so strange. He took him aside, put his fingers in his ear, in the man's ear, and he spit. Did you know the Lord never tied himself into one particular way of healing? And you can't tie him into one particular way of saving you. Well, he'll save you. It's all the same Savior, but he saves in different ways. Most people get saved under the preaching of the word. God just moves in the preaching of the word and opens up the hearts, and faith is generated. Faith is birthed, and we look out to the Lord. But some people get saved through reading about Jesus. They're reading, and boom, God moves on them. Some people are led to the Lord through affliction. Some people are led to the Lord through warnings from their friends. And we're too afraid sometimes to give warnings. But look, folks, if you're not saved, you'll perish. You'll perish. That's the truth of it. You'll perish. Well, anyway, Jesus put his fingers into this man's ears. It's as if he shot supernatural healing into the man's ears. And then he spat. Ooh, he spat. You know, when people spit, it's usually done as an act of despising. I spit on you. Yeah. Job 30, verse 10 says, they spare not to spit on my face. Somebody spits on you. It's terrible. People spat on Jesus. Isaiah 50, verse 6, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He allowed people to spit on him for you, my friend. For me, he was spat upon. Matthew 26, 67, they did spit upon his face. Now here's the thing, as we're finding out, saliva is filled with germs. And so Jesus spat on the man, spat in his mouth. What a terrible thing to do. Oh, no, back up. Who spat on whom? Christ spat on the man, spat in his mouth. And Christ had no corruption in him. He was sinless. So his spittle was disease-free. It was healthy. He put his spit on the poor man's mouth. Now, interestingly, medical science tells us that if a person has no saliva in his mouth, he or they, she, will be unable to talk. No spittle. Can't talk. But Jesus, it seems, knew this 2,000 years ago. He put his pure, sinless, healing saliva in the man's mouth, and the man began to talk. And verse 34, looking up into heaven. Did you see that? Looking up into heaven. That's where Jesus clearly is indicating the source of his power is coming from heaven. The psalmist says Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence comes my help? My help, my aid, comes from the Lord whom heaven and earth has made. Is there an unsaved person listening to me today? Let me ask you, to whom or to what are you looking for salvation You know, some people are too proud. Did you hear me? Too proud to do what? Some people are too proud to let another person save them. But we can't get saved unless it's through another person. And someone else has got to save us. We can't save ourselves. We don't have that ability. There are some people who are too proud to look outside themselves. But here's the thing. Our help, our salvation, must come from the Lord. He must save us. He must carry us. He must give us eternal life. And he does. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. What don't you believe about that? Have you put your trust in Jesus to be carried by him, taken by him to glory? Now, there was once upon a time a liberal bishop, Garfield Bromley Oxon was his name. And that this man, in his pompous way, said, "I would rather go to hell than to go to heaven on the back of another man." Did you hear that? "I would rather go to hell than go to heaven on the back of another man." Talk about gospel rejection. "I would rather go to hell than go to heaven on the back of another man." Well, when it came to March the 12th, 1963, God granted his request. For on that day, he died. Now, some people are just too proud to accept salvation as a free gift. They want to contribute something to it. So what about you? Do you want to contribute to it? What is it you want to contribute to it? Your good life? Your life's not good. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Me too. I'm not scolding you. I'm just being emphatic, trying to get this point through. Yeah. So, some people are just too proud to accept salvation as a free gift. They want to contribute to it. But back to our story, verse 35. Verse 35, "Straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly." Amazing. That's wonderful. To have deaf ears opened is a miracle, but to understand what is being spoken in a language that you've never heard before is another miracle. What language is that? Well, he understood them speaking the way they speak, but he was deaf. He had never heard anybody speak before. And now he hears, and he's able to speak. Not only is his tongue loosed, he's able to speak. He knew automatically the language. That's a miracle. That's a total miracle. It's staggering. He couldn't hear it. Now he hears. He couldn't speak. Now he speaks. That's wonderful. In fact, verse 36, "Now he's unable not to speak." 36, "And they charged him that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it." So he couldn't stop speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hello. Are you his follower? Are you telling people about him? Folks, you know, he's coming back. He's coming back very soon. I don't know how soon, but he's coming back. These are the last days. He's coming back. Look around you. And they'll probably get worse. Things will probably get worse. But these are the last days. Jesus is coming back. Are you going to tell your friends? Tell your friends. Invite them to listen in. They're going to get the gospel every week in this broadcast. Are you telling your friends? Do you know the gospel? Do you know that we're saved by grace through faith? It's not of ourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know that? It's not a matter of being good. I'm going to be good and go to heaven. You can't be good enough for heaven. You can't love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's what you're called to do. And if you can't do that, you're lost unless you have a Savior. That's what I couldn't love the Lord with everything. I can't obey perfectly anything. I'm useless. But I've got a Savior who's saving me to the uttermost. He saves the uttermost, all who come to God by him. Won't you come to Jesus? Won't you put your trust in Jesus? Put your confidence in Jesus. Ask him for his mercy. All right, now this man's not able to keep quiet about Jesus. It's as if he knew the old hymn. Do you know the hymn? Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. This man is so overwhelmed by what Jesus has done that he couldn't hold it back. Isn't that amazing? Well, our story ends in a marvelous way. They say and declare, he has done all things well. Well done, Jesus, well done. Isn't he, everything he's done well. Isn't it? He saved us. He's done well. He went to the cross. He did that well. He poured out his blood as a ransom for us. He redeemed us at the cross. He's done that well. He's not flawed in his actions for us. When he redeemed us, he bought us, and he's not going to let us go. He has done all things well. He saved us. He's done all things well. And so when we look up that word well, it means rightly. He's done all things rightly. Or it means correctly. He's done all things correctly. Or it can mean perfectly. He's done all things perfectly. Now, and as Jesus, in his ministry, Jesus created new eyes, new ears, new voices. He created them. He spoke them into existence the same way he did back in the Genesis. God said, let there be light, and where there wasn't any light, there was light. There was light was created. That's amazing. Let the waters divide, he said. Let the waters divide from the land. And they did. He has done all things well. Especially your salvation. Don't you be dying him. Don't you be sitting there saying, oh, I wonder whether I'm saved or not. Don't. Put your trust in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. Do you hear me? You shall be saved. He has done all things well. But the full revelation of this statement will not be seen until the resurrection morning. And as then we'll see the vast company of blood-washed sinners, folks who've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, they'll all be gathered together on that resurrection morning. We'll be staggered when we look all over it, staggered to see the amount of people he has saved and the people he has won at the cross and purchased at the cross. He has done all things well. Let everyone say, he has done all things well. Ah, yes, the fast company of the blood washed, the fast company of those who were sinners but were saved. The vast company of the redeemed. Do you know what redeemed means? It means to bring back with the pain of a price. He has done all things well, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Where's our redemption? It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Would you look away to Christ? Look away from yourself. Look away to the Lord Jesus and his accomplishments on behalf of sinners. Is it on your behalf? Trust him. Yes, trust him. Ask him to save you. And he'll save you because he's done all things well. And that is the gospel truth. Let's have a wee word of prayer together. Oh, Father, would you help us all see the Lord Jesus in his splendor and see that he has done all things well, that he'll not lose one person whom he has saved, because he's done all things well. He'll not fail one person, because he's done all things well. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for people listening, Lord, that you'd open up hearts, please, in Jesus' name, open up hearts. But we don't have to plead with you to be merciful, for you're abundant in your mercy. Magnify your name through the salvation of sinners in Jesus' lovely name.